have to rot with Zombie Zach. Cookies!
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff!
Voices, animal voices, the tremble of cold, the feminine abyss, and reaching my threshold, staring at the tree till I'm blind.
Boom, chaka laka laka boom, chaka 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 boom, bada 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 ba bow 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 wow 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 wow. I don't know what I'm gonna do with the day because the day is already done and the night has already begun. We are in the moment where we have a whole after-rot type thing coming down at you from the pipe of the audible environmental control system upon which the entire World Wide Web is based. We are talking to you through the medium of the wonders of the internet and the electronic highway. Super highway, ooh. Wowies, I am here today to talk to you about this special edition After Rot about fun facts. Because you know what? There are a lot of fun facts in this world. I have a whole list of them. I'm going to go through them. I'm going to talk about some of these things. And I'm actually going to share these fun facts. And I hope to goodness and great groovies, because yes, that's what I do. I talk about things. This is a talk show. We talk about things, and the things that we talk about are to be shared, spared, cared, even given a small dose of high air, because that's how we get to the rest of the world. Because our world domination plans must begin. Well, they already have begun. Now we just must make sure that they continue to unfold, increasing and get stronger and more dominant upon the rest of the world, so that at one point, sometime in the very near future, we can indeed unfold our grasp and take control of the entire world and incinerate. Hey, and our first fun fact for the day is going to come from a friend of mine who told me about this from New Zealand. Now, I was kind of aghast and agog and kind of slightly, what the hell, when I heard about it. So I thought that this would be a great component to start an entire episode of fun facts. Did you know that in New Zealand, they like beets, or I guess as it might be called, beetroot, on hamburgers? I am left totally, what about that? I personally, like everybody knows, I don't like vegetable matter, so beets are really gross to me. But I guess that some people like them, and that and other people will eat that sort of thing, and I guess whatever, you know? It's all, I guess, relative, huh? I'll leave that one quirkily queried in the air with a dot and a exclamation part and a question mark, and call that an interrobang, because that's what it's called. Moving along to another fun fact that I actually am particularly fond of. The movie Night of the Living Dead came out in 1968. Great movie. Awesome movie. Seminal movie for zombies and history of horror and the whole concept of, hey, we can scare the crap out of people because it's fun. It is the probably what a lot of people call the zombie movie that sets all other zombie movies apart, because it's the one that really kind of puts it into a place that says, hey, this is what zombie movies are about, sort of things. Blah, 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 blah. But in the entire movie, there is not a single reference to the word zombie. Matter of fact, from what I understand, even in the script, there is no mention of the word zombie. They are essentially called ghouls throughout the entire movie, because they left the whole concept of what are they, how did they come into being, all that fun stuff. They just left that out in the open as like, well, we're not going to really tell people, because if we tell people, then we have to explain it. If we have to explain it, it's going to kind of get boring. And then maybe people are going to start asking questions, and it's like, well, if these questions are here, and then those questions don't have answers, and the answers to these questions lead over to more questions over this side, and the question of the square root of pi comes into meets and turns out to be the answer is cake, people are going to get confused. Let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the story of the characters and how they react and interrelate and do all that other fun stuff. Yeah? Yeah. Sounds like a good plan in my book. So, more fun facts found all over the place. People say bless you when you sneeze, because when you sneeze, your heart actually stops for a millisecond. A tiny little bit of time in which you actually die from sneezing. Ooh. Well, maybe you don't actually die, because I mean, that's also all relative as well. But your heart stops. So it's like, maybe the idea behind that is, well, we don't really want you to die, so be well, and good bless, and all that other positive sort of, I don't know, I guess people like to hug each other, good feely type stuff, because I don't think people want anybody to pass away just because they sneezed. So in the sneezing part, got two more here for you, because apparently you can actually hurt yourself if you sneeze too hard. There is mention made of fracturing a rib. I've actually, myself, pulled a muscle in the back because I sneezed too gosh darn hard and followed up by a whole series of fits of coughing. That can hurt ya. And you know, when the zombie apocalypse comes out, ain't nothing gonna be nobody nowhere to help set your bones straight if you do pop 'em. So be careful with that. Also, if you try to suppress a sneeze, you could very likely, quite possibly, even quite potentially, pop a blood vessel. Isn't that neat? And from that, you might die. Don't do that, because it's not fun. Ooh, I like this other one. Keeping your eyes open by force when you sneeze, you might pop one of your eyeballs out. That would be... You ever seen that guy in the video? Oh, I can't remember where his name was, but it was on, like, Ripley's, I think. Ripley's Believe It or Not. The guy actually, like, pokes his eyeball out of the way and sticks stuff down through the eye socket. It's like, hey, look, I got a light going down here. Ah. It's like, ew. But funny as heck to watch. Seinfeld. I never really liked the show. I know a lot of people do like the show, but it was never the thing that actually worked for me. I thought the humor was like, eh, yeah, okay, I guess I could see how that's funny. Yeah, Kramer was funny. He always kind of a kooky kind of character, but whatever. So I never really got into it. But in every episode of Seinfeld, there is apparently a Superman somewhere, either a statue, an action figure, a picture, something. There's a Superman in the episode somewhere. And I think there is probably an entire legion of dedicated fans who probably OCD'd themselves out to oblivion and have probably documented it somewhere. If you are that concerned about it and interested and all that, I'm sure you can Google yourself up a link or two and find references for it, and then you can spend the next however long period of time that takes and watch the entire series over in a marathon display of, I don't know what you want to call it, Seinfeldianness, and watch the entire series again. I, however, will pass on that, but I thought it was a cool, interesting fact, fun fact, that Superman was in every episode. In the course of an average lifetime, you will eat at least 70 spiders or insects. Oh, sorry, 70 different types of insects and at least 10 spiders. Isn't that just full of pure protein and all that rigmarole? Actually, why do I keep using rigmarole? It's a great word. I love the word. It's kind of very onomatopoeia-sounding type thing. It's got this texture to it, and it's really fun, and I digress. But I'm back to the insects. Insects are actually very good for you. If you were in the woods and you were harving, pull up a rock, dig out the grubs. Mind you, it's probably gross to think of, like, ew, gross, grubs. But you smash them all up into a pulp, put them in a thing of water, mix it all up, and it's like stew. Insect stew. Greasy, full of protein, good carbohydrate, fat. Well, I don't think there's carbohydrate. I don't really remember. I'm not going to really go into the details on it. But it's probably the best stuff for you to survive. In the wilderness, go and talk to that Mr. Survivor man. I think he probably says, yeah, bugs. I like bugs. Bugs is tasty. I eat them. I eat them good. I eat them raw. I eat them cooked. I eat them with a straw. Okay. I don't think he talks like that, and I don't think he even works like that, but I'm going with that. The average lifespan of a squirrel is apparently about 9 years. I didn't think they lived that long. I really sort of kind of thought they kind of died within about a year or two. They're like little small furry mammals going, running around, looking for the little bits of food, little bits of food, little bits of food. It's like, ooh. He's a squirrel. A group of 12 or more cows is called a flink. Why is it called a flink? Where the hell does the word flink? Why would anybody even connect that kind of a word, flink? What is a flink? I have never heard of a flink. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to go and look it up in the dictionary here and say, look up in dictionary. What word, what does it come up? It comes up with bupkis. It doesn't know what this word is. I don't know why. But now I'm going to do a Google search, because you know what? That's what we do. We Google search. Flinking. Apparently it's something else as well. It's an Apache reference. And a video game. And it's in the Urban Dictionary. I don't know where this fun fact came from, so... actually, let's just do a little quick search thing here. Doing some research. Research. Actually, it is an old Farmer's Almanac thing. Band of Coyotes, a Sedge or Siege of Cranes. Wow. A flink of cows is apparently at least 12 cows or more. Go figure. Moving along. Donald Duck comics were apparently banned in Finland because he doesn't wear any pants. And as all we all know, neither does the Funky Weir Pig. Pants. Pants are the bane of existence. They are the type of thing that has probably caused society more grief, more stress, more inundation of negative hostility towards the environment and the coexistence of men, women, children, monkeys, squirrels. All of these creatures living together who could possibly be living, coexisting, in happiness-type words and nice places and stuff, are befuddled by the existence and the presence of pants. Pants. Who wants pants? Pants just get in the way. It's just... No. Pants. Just say no to pants. Okay? Just say no to pants. Did you know? Apparently, Leonardo da Vinci invented scissors. That dude was a smart dude. He created a whole bunch of stuff. He invented a whole bunch of stuff. He thought of things, all kinds of things, before other people thought of them. He's a smart feller. You know what? He's probably still alive, living right beside Disney, and they're probably both having a good laugh. Ha 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 ha. Look at all these silly humans trying to do their stuff. They're never going to get anywhere, because the zombies are going to take them all and eat them. Possibly while running with scissors. Maybe not. Oh, see, I get it. He was actually trying to kill everybody. Trying to make scissors so that everybody would run with scissors and poke somebody's eye out. Yes. Maybe not. Okay. Moving along. Apparently, the mask used by Michael Myers in the original Halloween was a Captain Kirk mask painted white. Not a hockey mask, but a Captain Kirk mask. You know that one, that face mask with the, like, clear things like, oh, look, I'm scary. It's just a weird-looking mask that he wears over his face. And it's like, I did not know that until I was researching fun facts, that was a Captain Kirk mask. Nifty. Here is an interesting fact that I am kind of okay. In 1386, a pig in France was executed by public hanging. First off, how do you get a pig to hang? Why? For murdering a child. Okay. I still don't see how a pig could kill a kid. Okay, maybe you had sat on it, smothered it. I could see that. Pig could be pretty big. Kid could be pretty small. Little kid crawls underneath there in the mud, and pig just sort of sits on top of him, and hey, he's going to smother to death. I'm like, I don't think the pig probably planned it. So I guess it wouldn't have necessarily been premeditated murder of this little kid. I can't imagine the pig actually even thinking about it. That'll do, pig. That'll do. As I go and think about, what was that little pig? I never liked that movie. Moving on. But, you know, maybe they had bacon afterwards. Because bacon is the awesomest stuff, grounding and combining the entire universe into a cohesive whole of happiness. Happy. Happiness. Happy. That's what bacon is. Coca-Cola. Not normally brown. Even though it's the tasty, tasty stuff that I enjoy so much, I'm going to have some right now. And you know what? That sound is the sound of excellence. Coca-Cola. If it weren't colored the way it is, it would be green. Ooh, you're drinking green stuff. This is an interesting fun fact that I kind of, actually the next two of them are pretty interesting and involves math. So I know you people are going to have to put your math hats on. The math hats, I know it's hard, but you're going to have to just take a moment. Think with me here. Put the cap on that says the twos and the threes and the eights and the sevens and the sixes. They all do these number things where they combine and then they separate and they become part of other stuff and they just get together and make more numbers. So, apparently, and I'm going to use this word apparently a lot because I have not verified or sanctified or completified or any other affied any of these fun facts. I just think it's funny that some people, A, put them out there, B, actually verify these things and check into to see if they are actually true, or the fact that some of these things probably are really true, and I know at least one or two of them are true because I have actually read about these things before, and in other cases, and in other environments. So a little bit of research did occur there, but for the most part, we'll use the word apparently indefinitely through this entire episode about all of these particular fun facts, because I can't neither confirm nor deny that any of them are actually 100% verifiably truth or a load of bupkis. This next one. If you yelled for 8 years, 7 months, and 6 days, I don't know why they're so very specific about those particular definitions. Why wouldn't they just say 9 years? Meh. You would have produced enough sound energy to heat one cup of coffee. Just one. If you were to yell all that time for that much, that sonic energy translated into heat. Making a cup of coffee. Just one cup. That sounds like a big waste of time. But I want to know. I put a bet out there. I give someone a dollar if they can prove that they can actually do that. Right now, yell for 8 years straight, 7 months and 6 days, just hollering and hollering and hollering at this one thing and make that cup of coffee hot. But I don't want it because I don't drink coffee. So if you make a cup of tea, maybe I'll eat that. But drink that. But I'm not drinking no coffee because it's just not my thing. I will stick to my Coca-Cola and my chocolate bars and my cookies and my bacon and my cheeseburger. The other fun fact that goes along with this, which I find even more amusing because we're still involving a lot of the math and now we're talking science as well. Well, we're talking about science and sonic energy piece as well. But if you farted consistently for 6 years or 9 months, again, why not just go for straight 7 years? It's a lot easier to say that. 6 years and 9 months, enough gas is produced to create the energy of an atomic freaking bomb. And that's all I gotta say. Well, no, I'm gonna keep saying on that. That is a lot of energy to expend. How much? They talk about cows, how the methane created by cows is when they fart out, that is what keeps the gas in the atmosphere, and that's proving the existence of intelligent life on this planet, because there's all this fart gas in the air. Things that make you go, and giggle, giggle, giggle. But enough with the smelly noises. The human heart creates enough blood. See, this was actually an interesting piece of information that I wanted to know, because I watch a lot of scary, creepy movies, and I watch a lot of, like, splatter movies, and I enjoy a few of these. I actually enjoy most of them. Japanese splatter movies, because they're just like, whoa, man. Like, really? Just like, whoa. So, a lot of the things that happens in those splatter movies is they cut the guy's head off, and the blood just goes spurting out, spurting out, spurting out, spurting out. Jets and jets and jets and jets and says, whoa, that blood is like flowing high. But apparently, this fun fact is that the human heart creates enough pressure within the body to pump out and squirt blood up to 30 feet. Dude, that's intense. That's from here? Nope, that side. Way the hell over there. That's a lot of distance to go there. Now, unlike in the movies, like I was just alluding to earlier, the Japanese splatter movies and a bunch of other be independent horror movies, the blood splatter is not going to continue for, like, oh, I don't know, like 10 minutes. It's going to go splat and then finish and then trickle out. More than likely, it's just going to splat a little bit and then trickle out, because I think that that blood pressure thing that they're talking about in that fun fact was like, hey man, I work out a lot, and like I'm pumped, so I like rump and I'm going to do stuff, and yeah, I would expect that person's body probably to project a lot of pressure for blood, because they're like going pumping on higher speed and everything else. I can't see like the little kid sitting around the corner saying, hi daddy, hi mommy, I got a candy bar. I don't think that kid's blood is going to probably spurt quite as much. His blood's going to go, but we could always experiment. No, we can't do that. They think it's a bad idea. The whole legal thing and like people and crime and pitchforks and just don't bother with that. More fun facts. In ancient Rome, not room. Why would it be an ancient? You know what? A necropolis would be an ancient room. Ooh, and like a burial. You know what's a mausoleum? That would be an ancient room. But no, ancient Rome. When a man testified in court, he wouldn't swear on the Bible. They didn't have the Bible back then. They didn't have the whatever sacred book or whatever. They would apparently swear on their testicles. Hey, I swear to say the truth. Like, geez, yeah, I gotta go to the bathroom here first for a second. But yeah, we're good. I swear on my testicles. I'm telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. Oh darn, I have to. Where's the little boys' room again? I gotta go. Gotta go real. I'll be right back. Thank you. More critter combination words. Actually, there's a few of these through this. I kind of get a kick out of them. Because we all know a combination of ravens gathered together is called a murder. I like that one. But apparently, a group of toads is called a knot. Why? Why would you call a group of toads a knot? How do you tie them together? And is there a place in the world where that is a practice, where people tie together knots of toads? And by the way, knot spelt as in K-N-O-T, not as in N-O-T, as in not this, not that, but no, a knight, as in a Gordian knot, or as in an accordion knot, or as in a double Dutch twig kind of, I don't know, weird kind of knot. Ooh, a sailor's knot. Oh, a top knot. Oh, yeah, all that. Why would you group of toads and call them a knot? I mean, with the various numbers of species on the planet, we probably ran out of words for things to call them, right? Ooh, there's a gaggle. Ooh, there's a flock. Ooh, there's a herd. Oh, there's a, what was the other one earlier? Ooh, I'm gonna have to probably look up to see what a group of squirrels is called. Or a flink. What the heck with the cows and the flink? I don't get it. That's not even a real word, I don't think. Nah. Oh my goodness, that rhymed. Ha! In Utah, it is illegal to swear in front of a dead person. As I give you the deadpan look across the skies, well, across the monitor video feed here, because you're video receiving this message, right? You're seeing me doing my whole shtick here as I talk and discuss the important things and factors and information of the universe and all of that combined stuff that's going on inside this headspace here that I'm spewing out at you guys. Not like blood spurting from somebody's cut the head, but this like raw stuff coming out of my head and my mouth and all of these really fun facts that I'm talking about. Why would you swear in front of a dead person? First off, why would you swear in front of a dead person? Because I just said that and I said it twice, because it's twice as nice to say it twice. But in the event of a zombie apocalypse, there's going to be a lot of problems in Utah if you can't swear in front of dead people. Because the dead person is walking past, she's like, ah, oh, I'm going to have to be quiet now. Why? The dead person. I can't swear. Whoa, okay. There are some odd laws in the world. And I'm not going to say it's all just in the States. I mean, it's like everywhere in the world. There are some odd laws. I've heard some in Canada. It's like, yeah, I'm going to look at you funny when I hear about that one. I heard one in Atlanta there a while ago about frying an egg on one day of the week. You're not allowed to do it. It's like, whoa, I don't know why that would be a prohibition. strange. And I'm probably willing to bet that a lot of them really had good, real strong meanings and motives behind it. It's like, the reason for doing this is because we didn't want to offend people. How can you offend a dead person? They're dead. The only thing that's left there is the shells, the bits and pieces, and the little rotten organic bits and pieces or whatever. It's just like, look, I'm tick-tick-tick-tick-tick talking away. But the real person, the soul of the person, the memory of the person, the life, the essence of what that person represented, no longer in there, they're out there. So how could you offend them by swearing in front of them? I mean, it's just the body. But, as I said, all kinds of people in the world, all kinds of things start up in odd, particular ways, and it's like, I don't know. I am not going to be the one person that's going to comment in a negative fashion that says anything bad about anybody. Oh, well, I might, but it's just going to be in good, clean fun. Ha 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 ha. The electric chair was apparently invented by a dentist. Hey, Donnie, sit right there while I turn up the electric chair a bit so that you're more comfortable while I'm drilling in your face with this huge drill and pulling things out of your face, in your mouth specifically, and then stuffing things into your teeth and like scraping, scrape, 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 scrape around the grill inside of your face. Yo, electric chairs, dentists, they're both torture, aren't they? What a surprise that they're actually connected in some far-fetched, fantastical, little, weird, odd melange of stuff like that, huh? 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 Dr. Zeus. And apparently he prefers to call his name Dr. Seuss? I don't know. I can't ever pronounce it. So I always pronounce it as Dr. Zeus. Coined the word nerd. Hey, nerd. You're a nerd. In his 1950 book, If I Ran the Zoo. I don't think anybody should give Dr. Zeus the keys to the zoo. I don't think they should let him run the zoo. I don't think they could even put him in a pair of shoes to allow him to run the zoo. Because if the zoo were run by Dr. Zeus, who's going to know who's cooking the gander and who's cooking the goose? You know? It's one of those kind of things. I just can't see it. But you can put me in charge of the zoo. Because if I run the zoo, guess who's getting top dog billing? Top dog! The kitty cats. Yeah, here, kitty cat. Roar! Yeah, that's okay. You can go and eat that little guy. He's like, nobody's going to miss him. It's okay. Go ahead, lion. Go ahead, tiger. Go ahead, panther. Go. Eat the people over there. That's okay. We got lots more. There's always more coming in. We can always get more. The Guinness Book of Records holds the record. The Guinness Book of Records has a record of itself for being the book most often stolen from libraries. Who in their right mind goes to a library and steals the Guinness Book of Records? And why? So that they can continue pandering to a Guinness Book record that is owned? I think maybe we should all stop stealing books. Buy books. Books are good for you. They help increase brains because, as we all know, zombies like it when people have larger brains, because a larger brain capacity means tasty, 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 yummy brains. Yummy brains. Don't steal books. Stealing books is bad. Borrow books. That's what libraries are for. They're good for that. And then bring those books back so that other people can borrow those books. Don't steal the Guinness Book of Records. Yeah, don't. Don't steal any book. It's not good. It's not cool, man. It's just not cool. I got some Canadian fun facts here. 0.3% of all road accidents in Canada involves a moose. A moose, damn it. By the way, I have seen a moose. Don't ever, ever try and run down a moose. If you are about to get into an accident, and I know it's hard to really put yourself into the perspective, it's like, I'm in an accident, it's going to happen. These things happen in a split second. If you get into an accident with a moose, for the love of your own sanity, safety, and sanctity, make sure you hit it hard. Because if you don't kill it, it's just going to get back up and get real angry. And mooses, they're strong and big. And they probably weighed more than your car did, which is now probably wrapped around it. And he's like looking, huh, I don't know, this guy's kind of not looking like worth my time. I'm going to walk away. Huh. This guy just hit me. That beat the crap out of him. That's what a moose. That's those are the thoughts that go through the head of a moose. By the way, if you've ever hit a deer, I haven't hit a deer, but I know a couple people who have, and I am told that the proper method of "Oh my God, I'm going to hit a deer!" is to speed up. Now, I'm not condoning or endorsing any kind of behavior or whatever that might get people hurt or whatever, but the whole thing is as you speed up in your vehicle, your vehicle goes down a little bit, aerodynamics pushes against the frame of the car and actually pushes it closer to the ground, and at the same time, if you get just that right point of hit leverage, you go underneath the deer, you actually break its legs, and the deer goes over top, and you are safe. If you do not get that right combination of elements of aerodynamic flux capacitor-nesis and gravity and density and all that other stuff of the deer, he's going through your windshield. And I'm going to guarantee you right now, not going to be a pretty sight. Not only is it not going to be a pretty sight, it's not going to be a safe sight. Biggest thing in the world, don't hit no deers. Definitely don't hit a moose. And even more funner fact, when you're in the woods and you're creeping around, walking around, ah, la-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-da. And I've done this one. This is actually really fun, kind of fun Zombie Zach moment. Walking through the woods out in BC, I was bored. I just stopped for a little while. I said, I'm going to walk through the woods for a little bit. Walking. And it's like, hey, look, all these deers. Look at all these deers. There's like 12 of them there. Little mommy deer over there. Little baby deer over there. Why is this deer over here looking all mean and staring at me like that? It's like, oh, this is like a mommy deers and some baby deers and stuff. It's like, okay, you know what, guys? You guys got this part of the woods. They're all yours. They're cool. I'm backing off. You all have a good day over here. I'm walking away. They got numbers, man. They could have taken me. I didn't want to play that game. Homie, that's me. Actually, no, zombie, that's me. We don't play that game. We got numbers, we kill everything. We don't got numbers, it's like, yeah, okay, come back. So, don't hit mooses, especially not on the streets. That's just not good. It is apparently illegal to frown at cows in Bladworth, Saskatchewan. I blink my eyes. I have a quiet pause there for a moment to let that actually sink in. Let me repeat that. It is apparently illegal to frown at cows in Bladworth, Saskatchewan. First off, I've never heard of Bladworth, so I don't know what's going on there. And I don't know if it's like the whole illegal part is about frowning at multiple cows or at a single cow or in general, any cows in general. It could go either way as far as I'm concerned. Pretty much on the ball there. Now, Saskatchewan is a nice place. There's fun people. Well, nice people. They have fun. I mean, just like any other place in the world. They're great people. They're kind of very farm-type people. So I'm taking it. I gather they have a lot of respect for their cows, and they want to treat their cows right. So the cow that's treated right can turn into a cheeseburger on my plate. Okay, I'll buy that for a dollar. Apparently, an American urologist... I just like words that have this weird connotative sound, texture type things, because if you know what a urologist is, you'll get what's going on next here, bought Napoleon's penis, I did say that, for $40,000, probably US, I'm going to guess. I'm going to keep going on with this whole thing. It's like, what? Why? Well, I get it. I mean, there's history there. But you can't do anything with it. It's like, oh yeah, we can dissect. Why would you want to? It's the little French guy's member. Dude, what the hell, man? Seriously, who thought of that stuff? I don't know. And while we're done on that, we're going to pause for a moment for station no, we don't have station identification in this show because, gosh darn it, it's after all. We are the world. We are the zombie nation of... yeah, all that stuff. And we're going to listen to a little song. Song just for you. Combinations of terms. I don't know what else you're going to call it. It's probably just a word. A group of kangaroos is called a mob.
Eh, Charlie. Yeah. Go get my heaters. We're going to light these people up. We're not that kind of mob.
A mob. Why? I don't get. Kangaroos don't look exact. I mean, kangaroos can be a very violent group of critters. They do have the ability to inflict damage and hurt people and other creatures. But they're like so cute and adorable looking, according apparent to what I've heard. But a mob of kangaroos. Who? I wonder if the Don kangaroo is. Yeah, I'm not going to go further with that. But kangaroos, they're called a mob, a group of them, a bunch of them. More fun Canadian fact. There are more donut shops in Canada per capita than in any other country, probably in the world, because they didn't really specify that, but I would assume than any other country in the world. I, being as I live in Canada, can probably attest to that fact. Tim Hortons is the bomb diggity, yo, but they are not the only donut shop in Canada. And I know how everybody says, yeah, Canada Donuts, look, Tim Hortons, ooh, they're a great company. I like their donuts, especially my favorite donut, which they don't make anymore at all the Tim Hortons donut shops, and that makes me sad. My favorite donut, I want them to bring it back. Let us start a campaign of people. I'll join in. I will create a petition. I will throw it up somewhere on the internet. I don't know where, but I'll find a place, and I will put it up, and I will invite you all to join my petition to bring back the old-fashioned chocolate dip. Now, what it is it's a cake donut with white cake inside and chocolate icing. And it's so tasty. Apparently, though, some of the shops can actually make it if they feel like it whenever they want to. They have the ingredients and they can bake. Well, there's different types of Timmy's with the baking ability and some that have, hey, look, we just bring in a bunch of donuts. It's like, okay. But it's a good donut. And good donuts are hard to find. Well, actually, no, they're really easy to find here if you're in Canada. Ha ha! So, 14%, and this is apparently, I mean, I don't know. I know a little bit because I read this. So, and when I'm reading it, I kind of interpret it, and then I kind of get an understanding of this stuff, and it's like, now I'm sharing for you. But apparently, 14% of all facts and statistics are made up. And, to top that off, apparently, 27% of people already know that fact. And now there's at least another percentage of people that now know that fact as well. The first CD ever pressed in the U.S. was Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. Born in the USA. I can't sing worth nothing, so I ain't going to bother trying to sing anymore the rest of the song. But as I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, yesterday or the day before, I don't remember which, but we were having a conversation about how he really didn't like Bruce Springsteen when Bruce Springsteen was all over the place. Like, look, everybody's... And I tended to agree. I've never really been much of a fan of the Boss. He's okay. I like his music. It's comfortable. I can enjoy it. I can listen to it. I'm not going to go, stop my ears, because he's playing. It's like, no, that's fine. And then he was saying, it's like, yeah, now he likes him more because nobody else is listening to him anymore. It's like, okay. Sounds very contrary, but I'm not going to be one to point that sort of thing out because squirrels. Peanuts are one of the ingredients of dynamite. Doesn't that just blow your mind? Peanuts. Not penis. Peanuts. Because peanuts, you know, the little nuts? I don't like peanuts. I really can't stand them. They really drive me up the wall. Slight allergy to them. I actually go whenever nuts is involved in any of the foods I get. So this is one of the reasons why I'm particular about a lot of foods, because there's certain points and components in the foods that if you ever eat them, I get sick, and I don't like being sick, and I really don't want to be sick, because if I'm sick in front of other people, then I might actually get more and more people sick, and then everybody gets sick, and it's all round up. Ah! And everybody turns into zombies, which is okay by me, but I want to keep the living people around for a little bit longer, because I would like to be able to dine on their brains at my convenience. But peanuts are part of the ingredients of dynamite. Things that make you want to go boom! More animal concepts. A group of rhinos is called a crash. I'm sorry, but that's just funny. A crash of rhinos, because they're big. They rumble along. They crash into things. Actually, I don't really think they actually crash into things. Probably they crash into other creatures that they might want to be killing. It's like that big horn. Ah. Ooh, yeah, there was a fun fact about the rhino horn as well. It was like, it's actually hair. I don't know. I have to look up that one, but it was weird. But yeah, a group of rhinos is called a crash. Imagine that. Monster Mash with the rhinos a crash.
Coconuts? I don't like coconuts either. It's just the whole... It tastes weird to me, the coconut milk, and the taste... I just can't ever get into coconuts, and I don't know why I'm going on about that, but I am going on about that. Coconuts apparently kill about 150 people each year. That's more than sharks. Aw, man, sad, but the sharks, dude. Sharks get such a bum rap. They don't kill that many people every year. People think, yeah, man, sharks... Killing, they kill everybody, they kill everything, they're like the apex predator, they are the apex predator of this, oh, the ocean, man, they like kill everything, they don't, but they kill, they're like very violent and vicious, they can be, they're not normally, they probably are maybe like, I don't know, I'll throw a fun fact out, percentage, 10% of the time, they're actually quite lethal, because, you know, scent of blood sends them into the killing fury, they don't actually make any noise, would they? There's no noise underwater when they do. It's not like whales either, but they make those pinging noises. But that would be interesting. But yes, sharks. They don't kill as many people as you think they do. Coconuts kill more than sharks. I think we should start a petition about that as well. Let's get rid of the coconut. Did you put the lime in the coconut and you shake it all up? What do you get? I don't know. Probably some kind of fizzy drink that's coming up with coconut. They have a fizzy drink called coconut. I've seen it before. Somebody tried to get me to drink it. I didn't really want to drink it because it was kind of insane. Moving on to the next thing. In England, in the 1880s, pants... Oh, we're going back to the pants again. Pants was a bad word. You know, so it's like, pants him, or... Batman, that's pants, bro. Pants. Actually, I think it's probably used in a different couple of combinations of expression, but like darn and drat, you know, pants. So it's like, you know, those words that people use, euphemistic type words and categorized type things that are called swear words and whatever. Pants. Pants. Sigmund Freud. Yes, spelled like that, pronounced like that, had a morbid fear of ferns. What do you mean he had a morbid fear of ferns? How could a fern ever hurt anybody? How could a fern have the potential to cause any kind of potentiality to create the very nature of fear? Like a fern. Fern's a plant. Can't even do anything. It just sort of sits there and grows slowly. And it's green, and if you had a knife or like a match, you could just get rid of that stilly thing and not even worry about it. It would be like, meh, you know? Meh. Sigmund Freud. What an odd feller. Did you know that I actually write him as a character in the Heroes in Hell series with Janet Morris and the rest of those fun people? Yeah, him and Ivan Pavlov. Yeah, him. I got a story. I write with those guys. Ha ha ha. Fire is cool. Jiffy. I like using the word Jiffy. And people kind of look at me for odd because I like to use odd old words. I love old words because they're funny and they throw people for a loop. And it's like, what? What? Okay. I'll be with you in a jiffy. Apparently, a jiffy is the scientific name for 1/100th of a second. That's a jiffy. Okay, I'll be right there in a jiffy. It takes you longer to say the word jiffy than it actually is the measurement thereof, which again falls quite well with my favorite word, one of my favorite words, monosyllabic. It's a word that explains a word of a single syllable, yet in and of itself it has five syllables. It's a huge arse word. There is a town in Newfoundland, Canada, called Dildo. Silly giggles. And I'm sure probably a few of you are enjoying that giggle as well and probably just keeping it up, keeping it going. Yeah, I'm moving on. In the Philippine jungle, the yo-yo was first used as a weapon. Whoosh, walking the dog. Bam! Smash in the head. What? Yeah, yo-yos, man. They're not just for kids. They were violent, ninja-like weapons for the guy warrior type. Well, maybe the female warrior types too. I don't really know. I mean, I haven't studied the Philippines much, so I don't know the history of the society type stuff. And it's like, ooh. But a yo-yo was a weapon. My boomerang still won't come back because I threw it and it didn't come back. It's just like it stayed over there. Could I have gotten up and gotten to get it? Probably, but that would have been so much effort, and I didn't really feel like doing it. So there are... I actually like this next movie. Starship Troopers. It's a fun movie. It's really campy, and it's not as true to the book as I would have liked it when I saw it, but it was fun, and it was enjoyable, and it was silly, and the science fiction was like, there was science fiction in that? But apparently there were more bullets fired in that movie than in any other movie ever made. I would really like to be able to challenge that fact and find out, but I know that there's a scene in the movie where it's like the guy is just sitting there firing off bullets constantly, continuously, probably for like, I don't know, probably in movie time he was probably sitting there for an hour just shooting this gun off at the alien insect type creature attack warriors, whatever they were called. I think they were called the alien warrior types. They were like the six-legged guys, huge six, crawled all over the place and just trying to kill everybody, everything. And the guy was just standing there until they killed him. But again, a lot of bullets. That was kind of a interesting fun fact. Oh, we got you a real important statistical fact here next. The average North American will eat 35,000 cookies during their lifespan. Some of us will eat more. Some of you will eat less. That's okay. We compensate for your abstinence and we make up for it in nom 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 cookie. If you give me cookies, it make me happy. And a happy zombie is a calm zombie, and a calm zombie is not unleashing the apocalypse. Dr. Kellogg introduced Kellogg's Corn Flakes in hopes that it would reduce masturbation. I have no idea how you connect one to the other. Eat some Corn Flakes and you won't whack off. What? How does that connect? Like, is there something in cornflakes that makes that decreases your libido so that you don't want to actually engage in that kind of thing? Or is like, oh, I'm reading the cereal box and like, I don't feel like going upstairs right now. I'm going to just eat my cereal. I don't know. What? How? The mind-blowing type fact. I really can't get over how... Like, what? How is cornflakes not want you to do that? Like, seriously? How? I don't get it. I'm going to shelve that particular discussion and go, Apparently, honking of car horns for a couple that just got married is an old superstition to ensure that they have great sex. Damn it! Why is everybody not honking? They're honking at me. That must... You know, this is a new thing. Go on the highway now and honk. Honk all the time. Honk at everyone. And then let everybody know, it's like, why are you honking at us? Why are you honking at us? I want you to have great sex. How is anybody ever going to reply to that? Like, oh, okay. Thank you. Honk. What? Have great sex? Sure, okie dokes. That sounds great to me. I can get behind that with a pony and maybe, no, I'm not going to even touch that with a 10-foot pole. No. A whale's penis is apparently called a dork. So when somebody calls you a dork, guess what they're calling you? They're calling you a whale penis. I got nothing more on that one either. It's just... Okay, no, I'm not even going to look up any research on it. It's a huge penis. It's like, okay, so you're a big dork. Big dork. No, moving on. The name Wendy is widely credited as having come from the book Peter Pan. Apparently, I was just reading a little bit ago about that might not necessarily be the true thing. However, it is definitely the case where Peter Pan, that book, that story, actually highlighted the name and made it popular in North America, Europe, and some other places as well. And apparently, there was only like maybe a handful of people called Wendy before that in that book, or that name, or in life and living and whatever else. Could have very well have been short form for Gwendolyn and other stuff like that, but hey, you know how it is. People are strange. People are crazy. people have all kinds of perspectives on life and everything else like that. And my last fun fact here is very important. It's one of those facts of important pieces of natural history, and if you understand this particular concept, you may very well have a chance to survive the future that's coming. You could, maybe not. It might be something that might be a little stretched, kind of odd factor that may or may not actually have any kind of impact, positive or otherwise. But if you give a zombie a cookie, you will be safe from attack. At least for a little while. Just like, I mean, it all depends on the amount of cookies. If you bring an entire case full of cookies and give it to a zombie, you're probably good for at least a couple of days. If all you do is bring one cookie, well, you know, generally speaking, when you get into a situation where you are engaged with active participation with a group, and we're usually called a horde, a group of zombies, there's more than one. So if you only bring one cookie, the one you give to the zombie to the cookie's like, it's going to, oh, thank you for the cookie. Yum, nom, 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 nom. And, but the rest of compatriots will probably nom your face off. So, always be prepared. Have a lot of cookies. Cookies are probably the thing that is going to save your life. And in a moment when you don't have the ability to prepare for it in advance, there is no preparing for a zombie apocalypse. I am looking at all these fun people all over the world saying, ha ha, look, we're prepared for an apocalypse. Ha ha, we've got all these things. I've got my bug out bag. I've got my impenetrable house safely set up so that no zombies could break into my place. Ha 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 ha, there's no way. Bam. What? Zombies, got them. How? We're ingenious that way. We get into everything. We get into every place. We are going to exterminate. Exterminate! Exterminate! We're going to have a cookie jamboree. A cookie jamboree. We're going to have a cookie jamboree and eat your brains. Your brains. Your brains. Your brains. Your brains. And now, just to close up the show and wrap up the entire load of fun facts, I am going to share with you a couple of ZZ-isms. Some little philosophical tidbits of stuff that I sometimes come up with. So, let's go. Take your fears and put them on the table. Count their number. Cut them into manageable pieces and then feed them to the maggots. Fear should never keep you from achieving what you want to do. Only you should keep you from doing what you want to do. Face your fears and make it fear you even more. Bing. Hold on. Hold on to yourself. Nobody else is there to give you the reasons to be who you are. You set your path. You walk your journey down it. You choose what things bear importance and what things do not. You are you. Be your best you that you can be. Bing. Mediocrity is the baseline of existence. It's the moments of sparkling brilliance, the chaotic brightness that shines briefly and is replaced once again by the darkness that allows for an existence that soars over obstacles and bitterness and the shadowy presences that swim in the cesspool of one's soul. Reach for the stars. They're yours if you can but grab them. And that, my fine friends and family and other really fun people out there in After Rot Land and the whole expanded universe of the internets. I thank you for joining our show and listening to me ramble on for pretty much almost an entire hour of fan facts. Fun, more fun than you can shake a stick at. Please join us on the Facebook. Please join us on the Twitter. Follow us wherever you can, because we love stalkers like that, because it just makes our heart cockles warm. I mean, they don't move too much anymore, because they've kind of been dead and atrophied, and they don't really do anything anymore, but it makes our cockles of our hearts warm and tender to know that people are sharing with us in our world domination plans as we continue to progress towards that end. Thanks again. Come back again every Wednesday night. Listen to the After Rot and share it with everything you've got.
What are you doing?
Dance off, bro. Me and you.
Come on. Subtle. Take it back.
What are you doing?
I'm distracting you, you big turd blossom.
Of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have appeared.